I want to first celebrate. You all did great over this weekend as Bud Light, InBev, and the Anheuser-Busch products continue to decline across the map. Now, today, the stock is down, but to be fair, most of the market's down, including its competitor, Coors Light. However, what's interesting is we've got some new people speaking out against it. Now, up until now, Donald Trump really hasn't said anything about Bud Light or Anheuser-Busch. Many have probably accurately predicted that it's because there's a lot of money, financial backing that gets that happens from Bud Light, Budweiser, Anheuser-Busch. And so, you know, he's been hesitant to say. Now, I don't know that for sure, obviously. But here's an interesting from over the weekend. A quote, former President Trump weighed in on the Bud Light controversy on Sunday. In a True Social post, he wrote, promoting a book that calls to defund leftist woke companies. Trump called out Anheuser-Busch, the parent of Bud Light, in his social media post on Sunday while promoting the Great Patriot Protest and Boycott book. Conservative critics in recent months have called the boycott and protest Bud Light after, of course, working with Dylan Mulvaney, partner with the company, in a sponsored post, meaning Trump got paid to say this, but he probably didn't have to call out Bud Light. Quote, "It's time to beat the radical left at their own game. Money does talk. Anheuser-Busch now understands that. Great new book by Wayne Allen Root. Buy your copy today." Now, of course, Anheuser-Busch CEO has now told investors last week that the partnership was not a formal campaign. And if you remember, they also went out of his way to call it misinformation. Now, I wonder what kind of people are always using the word misinformation these days. Now, I'm not saying there isn't misinformation out there. There certainly is. However, interestingly enough, the left seems to call anything that's inconvenient misinformation or propaganda or fake news. But now, the CEO is getting even more backlash. And by the way, if you've been following the news, I reported this on Friday. Now, since it's such a disaster for Anheuser-Busch, because LGBTQ bars are now boycotting it, making headlines this Monday. Now, quote, he still doesn't get it. Anheuser-Busch CEO blames social media misinformation for Bud Light boycott, which has led to a 26% drop in sales, as he insists that the partnership was just one post, not an advertisement. Well, to be fair, they're the same thing. He's trying to play semantics here, or he's trying to, I don't know, minimize it. But the fact of the matter is, money exchanged hands in exchange for promotion. Therefore, it was an ad. Now, if you're saying, well, it wasn't a sustained campaign and we only paid him once to do it, doesn't really change anything. And again, the CEOs are still refusing to take any kind of responsibility as their sales continue to drop. The CEO doubled down on his claim that Dylan was never a partner with the American Beer Company, and said the cans featuring the face were never going to be on sale for the general public. But here's the thing. This is not what people were worried about. People weren't worried about the cans being for sale. People were worried that the spokesperson is an insult to women. The spokesperson is somebody who makes women a mockery, makes a mockery of women. He instead, of course, blamed an outside ad agency, which we talked about last week, for the advertisement, saying it was not approved by Bud Light executives. Now, the company will now triple its marketing budget this summer and give $500 cash bonuses to its drivers, retailers, and salespeople as it tries to recover from the boycott. What a lot of people aren't talking about is, you know, the people that were hurt by this are everyday people that are probably apolitical. Right? They're the distributors, the drivers, you know, all these type of things. They didn't ask for this conversation. They didn't want this conversation. It was thrust upon them. And what I think is interesting is that Budweiser doesn't seem to appreciate that fully. Sure, giving them $500 is nice, but have you seen how far $500 even goes these days? I was just talking to somebody the other day. We're out to lunch and we got two sub sandwiches, two chips, and two sodas, and it was $24 and some change. Now, I know I'm getting older now, I'm 40, but like $24 for two sub sandwiches? And it's not like I had filet mignon, I had ham, okay? So $500 isn't exactly the grand gesture that it seems like. Now, here, according to Fox, the three likely ways that will actually end. First, surrendering to the left. Forget the slogan, go woke, go broke. Almost every major corporation around the world has embraced leftist attitudes. It's called ESG or Marx. Corporations took a sharp left turn. For the CEO or his replacement, to turn right would be a huge risk. It's much easier to just go along and get along. That's the path of least resistance. That's where most celebrities and where marketers tell them young future drinkers are. The fight has already escalated with Chicago's Two Bears Tavern Group, owner of four different LGBTQ bars, criticized Budweiser for the abandonment and its treatment of Mulvaney. The check cleared, as far as I know. Now Budweiser is facing boycotts on both sides. Bud bosses jump smack dab into the middle of the culture wars. If they pick a side, they risk offending the other. Well, I think the reality is that they did pick a side, right? Which one to choose? The one with the most corporations, media, and celebrities, or the one with their customer base? They are likely to replace the Clydesdale with My Little Pony, more likely to do that than go against the corporate tide. Yeah, I'd probably agree. Now, the other alternative, the long shot, is surrendering to the right. Asking businesses to do the right thing is like asking President Joe Biden to enforce the border. Both might do what you want, but they hate you, and the only reason they might listen is out of half interest. If Budweiser sides with customers, that's all that matters. Bud Light keeps trying to placate beer drinkers without making any changes. Now, to be fair, they did put two people on leave, fire the marketing agency, add more advertising. I'd say they're doing a lot, but they still haven't owned it. They released two bogus commercials designed to bring conservative beer drinkers back to the brand. The first brought in the Clydesdales and tells of a beer rooted in the heart of America. The story says it's bigger than beer and praises generations willing to remember, not really the corporate message they wanted to send. Bud Light execs are terrified that people will realize this fight is indeed bigger than the beer and the future of everything America believes. And yes, customers remember, and Bud Light doesn't want that. The second commercial was even more ridiculous. It was just a bunch of phony TV friends drinking Bud Light in the rain with Chicken Fried by the Zac Brown Band playing in the background. Well, we saw how that worked. They were both downvoted into oblivion. Sooner or later, it's going to dawn on someone at Budweiser or their bosses at Anheuser-Busch that conservative beer drinkers aren't the idiots that marketers think they are. The only way to win them over is to apologize, kick the insanity to the curb, and go back to normal. If you're a betting person, and I am, this is the long shot bet. Budweiser would rather triple its ad budget to sucker its customers back in than actually win them over with honesty. That's really their plan, not to address the crisis, just bombard us with more fake friends and chicken fried BS. That's correct. That is the plan that they are currently on. The third option is the crash and burn scenario. This result is more likely than it should be. Inertia takes hold and Budweiser execs, their eventual replacements, and even their corporate bosses are all afraid to pick a side. Instead, much like New Coke, they let the product line just die. This time, they throw marketing and corporate support into a new light beer, or maybe more than one. Imagine they get savvy and try to segment the market. Come up with a super patriotic brand for old Bud Light drinkers and a woke brand for the Dylan crowd. It might work, or the company might end up ceding the light beer market to its competitors by the time they get around to taking action. Execs are already wondering how many of those who switch will even be coming back. It's not like Bud Light tastes that good in the first place. I mean, yeah, I'd buy that. I mean, if you look at it this way too, over the weekend, LGBTQ plus bars boycott Bud Light for abandoning Dylan. It shows how little they care. Now, I was not as informed that Bud Light was actually pretty popular in the LGBTQ community. So you see, this is from Pink News, obviously. So we saw this long post come out making national headlines. And if one thing is true about the LGBT group and their allies is they are extremely well organized and they are extremely loud online, saying things like, we must hold brands accountable if they take active steps against LGBTQ equality, visibility, and safety. Now, I'm not sure that's what they did, but, you know, for Dylan's part, they're all in now saying, you know, you see this kind of sorry right-wingers, most U.S. beer drinkers support campaigns like Dylan's. That's actually not true. If most of them did, you wouldn't have had a 26% and growing drop in sales. You wouldn't have empty lines at the Boston Red Sox game. You wouldn't have grocery stores piling up with cans of Bud Light. I'm not saying everybody's abandoned them. I still see people drinking it. But this floundering, this action or no action, is probably more damaging. They could have just ripped the band-aid off 3 weeks ago. I'm sorry, a month ago, and just sided with the left like we all know they're going to do anyway. Instead, they've just prolonged this, and damaged their reputation far more. Or they could have sided with the right, let the left kick themselves out, and then by now they'd be back to business. But again, they are literally crippled by fear. And that's the environment that a lot of these woke activists and woke investors, don't forget the investors. These are people that will pump money, hedge funds and stuff, that pump money into these woke companies to try and offset. You know, you do your ESG, you follow your ESG score, then suddenly you get a lot more investors. It's an interesting video floating around over the weekend on the internet, and I wanted to use this as an opportunity to discuss the double standard that seems to exist when you're misbehaving and you are of a quote-unquote protected class. See, in my experience, most people, regardless of how they identify or who they are attracted to, as long as they're adults, you know, this kind of stuff, they're all just trying to get by, trying to work their job, get home, enjoy their Saturdays, you know, be about their business. But there seems to be one particular group of people and one particular subset of people that is always acting up and aggressively putting their hands on people and getting away with it entirely, never getting charged. We've seen numerous occasions of the biological men who identify as female being extremely aggressive and, again, receiving zero punishment. And there's this video here at Starbucks, happened in the UK. And I just want to share it with you. And a brief update, I guess the rumor is this person was fired, but we'll see. So here on the right, you have a barista, an employee, a woman here who, I don't know, is maybe in her 60s or something like that. And her husband is outside filming this interaction. This says, trans Starbucks employee screams at woman for misgendering him, then proceeds to go after a man filming the altercation. I don't understand the clapping, like the clapping in people's faces. I don't understand that. It feels to me like an attack. You're putting your hands in my space, making a loud noise. Also calling this woman a Karen. Again, in my experience, at least covering this stuff, people that get mad about getting misgendered are usually the ones that don't have any kind of pass. They don't even try to pass. And also, to be fair, it's 2023. You know, all the major fashion magazines are telling, are saying that men should wear dresses because it's empowering and this, that, and the other thing. you expect someone to, you know, look, if somebody goes out of their way and like said something really mean, okay, I think I don't care who you are for the most part, and that includes anybody who's in the trans community. Like, if you're going out of your way to be mean to them or to say something derisive to them, that's not okay. They don't deserve that. This, you know, let's say this situation was different, right? This person's just doing their job, and then someone came along and said something nasty to them. I wouldn't care if they clapped back at that, because it's just not okay. But in this particular case, a simple, you know, misgendering has this person acting. And by the way, this is actually an epidemic at Starbucks, but we're going to get into that in a second.
You're not having one, dude. Please, hi, get out. You are trespassing now. They've got cameras. You are trespassing. Get out. Get out. You are trespassing.
Oh, definitely looks masculine to me.
Apparently, we said something transphobic.
So he says, so I'm assuming he's with them, with this woman. Says, apparently we said something transphobic. And now here is what has happened so many times in the past. By the way, what you're about to witness is a crime. And I would be willing to bet there is almost a 0% chance there will be any charges or any prosecution of it. Ready? That's assault. Right there. Can't put your hands on someone. And we talk about this with like Andy Ngo, for example, or Alex Stein when he was down at a protest. I know that he's there, like Stein is there to agitate and create good content, but that doesn't mean people get to put their hands on him. And it happens all the time because nobody holds these people accountable, certain people, and they get this like God complex where they could just do whatever they want because they have, I've said this before, this galactic power of, you know, you can't do or say anything or criticize them lest you be transphobic. So at this point, he's stolen the man's phone, another crime. I can't tell. So somebody picks up the phone. According to Starbucks, will release a statement saying there's an ongoing investigation. We'll give the customers 20 euro and let it slide under the rug. Now, in an update, this says Starbucks tells me. Now, this is from somebody with 6,000 followers and works at Great Britain News. So I'm guessing it's a reliable, somewhat reliable source, at least in terms of Starbucks making a statement to them. It says terminated. Starbucks tells me they have this person has been seen in the clip, has been fired. Starbucks told me, quote, we do not tolerate this kind of behavior. We are very sorry for the experience this customer had. Now, how long until there's boycotts outside of Starbucks, right? How long now before the trans community comes together to cancel Starbucks, which, by the way, I'm 100% fine with. Starbucks, you know, they actually, I don't drink their garbage water because I have my delicious coffee brand coffee. By the way, I, you know, you should check out coffeebrandcoffee.com. We're completely apolitical and our customers don't attack you. And you should try out some of our cold brew bags for summer. They're just delicious. We have a bunch of different flavors and we have all sorts of stuff. I'd love for you to check us out. I'll put the link in the description. We had a record Mother's Day. But Starbucks is exceedingly woke. But another thing Starbucks actually does that they don't really tout is they help a lot of veterans. They give a lot of vets jobs. I think they were at least at one point a larger employer of veterans than Black Rifle Coffee. And so they do some good things. But, you know, Starbucks is exceedingly woke. And again, this is not uncommon with, again, one particular group of people. I mean, remember the, here's another biological male identifying as a female. Remember the GameStop video? Just somebody doing whatever the heck they want. Whatever they want.
You're going to give me Excuse me, sir. There's a young man in here.
Excuse me, it's ma'am.
Well, another customer said, excuse me, sir. I mean, again, I think everybody has a right to just go about their business and work on their jobs, right? If this person had been like maliciously misgendering this individual and there had been that context in this video, you know, maybe you could understand why somebody might get upset, but you don't have a right to force other people to use your preferred pronouns. Now, maybe that's happening in Canada and the UK by now, but not in America. You don't get that right. And again, it's always these people that like...
It is ma'am!
I can call the police if you'd like me to. You need to settle down.
You need to settle down and mind your business, okay?
Ma'am. Mind your business. I mean, this individual also trashed a store, if I remember correctly.
If you want to call me sir again, I will show you, sir!
I apologize now.
There you go. Knocked over all this stuff.
I need your corporate number now!
I mean, again, I doubt this person ever got any criminal charges. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But again, I could go through dozens of videos like this where you have demonstrators. You see, even here, for example, this happened just like a week ago, actually a few days ago. You have, you know, LGBTQ advocates forcibly moved from the Texas State Capitol after demonstrating in the House gallery. Well, they were also, I mean, this is what the left would call an insurrection, right? You know, you have all sorts of, you know, conservative activists bruised up, bloodied at pro-trans rally, and the police did nothing. Here you can see somebody, now I don't know if this is here you go. Another biological male identifying as female. Conservative activist billboard Chris assaulted by a trans woman at pro-trans rally. Again, he can stand there with a sign and they just commit crimes on camera. In this particular case, the police did nothing. They were sitting right by and they did absolutely nothing. So, you know, there needs to be consequences in life. And by the way, if he had returned fire, so to speak, he would have been called everything in the book. He would have been canceled. So I would wish that the trans community would speak out louder against this behavior. It doesn't make the community look good. I've said this over and over again that, you know, basically the worst people rise to the top in that community and end up representing them, you know, and I think that from a branding perspective, they should probably be more active in disavowing this kind of behavior. The war on woke is heating up extensively. We've seen many politicians kind of change their platform now to run on kind of like, you know, you see a lot of these people wanting to pass laws to protect kids, calling out like libraries and the books that they have, school libraries and certain books that they have. DeSantis kind of popularized that. And really made people sit up and take notice of him when he started to kind of, I don't know, protect the kids. And now an Oklahoma governor has defunded, essentially shut down PBS over indoctrination and overly, you know, putting kids in positions where they shouldn't be, including reading of kids' book about drag queens' hips. PBS has come a long way from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Obviously, it is very left-leaning. It always had a message, kind of a liberal message in all of its shows, but it was not like beating you over the head with it. It wasn't so like radical, but now it is and has been for some years, and people are fighting back. After all, PBS is the public broadcasting, okay? Oklahoma's, which means you're paying for it in the United States with your tax dollars. Oklahoma governor has defended his decision to defund his state's PBS affiliate over children's programming that he deemed inappropriate, including a drag queen reading a story to kids. Kevin Stitt, a Republican, blocked the funding for the state's PBS station through 2026, with the move listing several shows on the network that he finds objectionable. Shows on the network include Sesame Street, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, Clifford the Big Red Dog, which featured LGBTQ parents. The network will cease operation this year unless the legislature overrides the veto. Now, I don't know that there's anything inherently wrong with Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and I am a little, I want to be somewhat cautious about this kind of, you know, satanic panic that Republicans, letting that kind of slip back in like the late 80s and early 90s. I think that there's a big difference between Drag Story Hour and, you know, the kindly Mr. Rogers telling kids that we're all the same, you know, skin color doesn't matter. The governor's office claims that the segment of Let's Learn was objectionable, with a children's book titled The Hips on the Drag Queen Go Swish, 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 being read by Lil Miss Hot Mess. Speaking to Fox News Digital, he said that the PBS Nation to us is an outdated system. You know, the big, big question is, why are we spending taxpayer dollars to prop up and compete with private sector and run television stations? I mean, sure. I mean, I think public broadcasting is still important. But, you know, when you look at a lot of these organizations that take federal money or take taxpayer dollars, like NPR, PBS, they've become more and more radical. They've become more and more leftist. Instead of just kind of promoting the golden rule or, you know, things that don't talk to strangers, now it's like, talk to drag queens and learn to be one yourself and this kind of stuff. Quote, and then when you go through all of the programming that's happening and the indoctrination and the over-spicification of our kids, it's really problematic, and it doesn't line up with Oklahoma values. He criticized a NewsHour feature that included parent support for gender-affirming treatments for trans kids, including puberty blockers. There was also a gay character in Work It Out Wombats, which airs on OETA, as well as Clifford the Big Red Dog introducing LGBTQ characters. Now, again, I am a little more progressive on this. I don't have any issue whatsoever with having LGBTQ characters. See, this is a little bit like the drag stuff. That's a W for me. That doesn't need to happen because of the inherent nature and the culture around drag. Having LGBTQ parents in a kids show, it depends. It depends how, like, do they make the whole episode about it and make a big deal about how cool and neat it is? Or do they just exist on that show? I think that there is a time and a place for everything. I suppose I would have to see, you know, what the actual context is of the clips. His office criticized Pride Month programming, which included a special about the town of Christians, drag queens, and who step into the spotlight to dismantle stereotypes, and LGBTQ wedding featured on PBS Kids Odd Squad. This is stuff that I would consider over the line. And again, if they want to produce these type of shows, then they absolutely positively could do so in the private sector. I think when you start spending people's tax dollars, it's got to be apolitical and it's got to be unbiased. I mean, what happened to running documentaries about, you know, Great Outdoors or, Ken Burns on the bicycle, one of the longest, most unwieldy documentaries in history. You know, that's American Dad reference. But anyway, you know, what about that stuff? Why aren't kids getting educated? This is not education. This is indoctrination. The governor has pushed back at claims by his critics that the shows are educational, adding, when you think about educating kids, let's teach them to read and their numbers and counting and letters and those kind of things. That I agree with. A big agree on that. You know, kids these days, you know, lack a lot of very basic skills. When I was in high school, one of the craziest things I always thought about now as I'm older is like, they never taught us anything about like balancing a checkbook and being good with money. And then what does every 18-year-old do? You know, I don't know if this was you, but, you know, you get out there, you turn 18, everybody's shoving a free T-shirt in your face if you just apply for their credit card, and you get a Bucks shirt or a Packer shirt or you get a beach ball, and you go out there and you destroy your credit. you know, why wasn't there a class about that? Like, hey, credit score is important. It's the most important thing in your growth financially. I remember when I bought my first house, my credit score was like in the 500s. My credit score was so bad, I had to do a stated income credit with my wife's credit, and my like credit wasn't even on there. We had to pay a premium. It took me years to fix my credit. He also goes on, the governor's pushback claims. I mean, some of the program that we're seeing, it just doesn't need to be on public television. He claims that if the program is so popular, then it could be picked up by other broadcasters that don't require taxpayer dollars to stay afloat. 100% agree. The governor said Oklahoma taxpayers are going, oh, hey, hang on, time out for just a second. That's not my values. And I think that that's obviously 100% reasonable, too, because there are certainly a lot of people that would be far more rigid than me, and their tax dollar is no more or less important than mine. We're both paying the same in. Quote, I'm just tired of using taxpayer dollars for someone's personal agenda. I represent the taxpayers. There's so much television. There's so much media. Maybe in 1957, you could have made an argument that you needed public television. That's totally outdated at this point. All those towers are communications that's all owned by the state. And whether we continue to fund an outdated public television station with taxpayer dollars or we let the free market work, we're still going to have the same capabilities, the same assets, the same towers. Our DPS system, which is what rolls out Amber Alerts, for example, none of that's going away. So that's just people confusing the issue, not being clear with their mission, trying to make excuses of why the tax dollars still fund this outdated system. And I mean, if you look at this stuff, like this is the actual video here, right? It has 114 likes. I'm going to guess several thousand dislikes, and they have comments turned off. Like, why do you think that is? Why is this, like, why is this for kids? It's just, you know, what's the word for it? It's pretty alarming when they keep saying, we're not coming for your kids. We're not weirdos. We're not whatever, whatever. And then they dress up in drag and want to read a book to children. You know, again, I have always said, and I will continue to say, I have no problem at all with drag. I'd even go to, I probably wouldn't go out of my way to go, but if I was out in a town and there was a drag show going on, I'd probably watch it because it's entertaining and funny to me, but it's not for kids, okay? Some people see it as an abomination. I'm not that hardcore about it. It is what it is. If it's happening between adults or in a spot where only adults are, it really doesn't bother me. Nobody's getting hurt. People who are consuming it are voluntarily doing so. But when you start using taxpayer dollars for this stuff, I think it is important to say, you know what? No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do taxpayer funded this, that, or the other thing. And we're not going to do, we're not going to do this indoctrination stuff. We're not going to use tax dollars for this. And we're not going to, I mean, some of this stuff is so egregious and so obvious. Like, why is it a thing? But, you know, you go to NPR, PBS, they are all left leaning, but they aren't necessarily, they always were left leaning, I'm sorry, but they weren't so on the nose and gross with it like they are nowadays. His claims have triggered more left leaning politicians with Democratic Sikh representation, branding the move as an attack on public education and underrepresented in Oklahoma communities. It comes after the governor also banned all reassignment procedures for minors, based and good, including irreversible gender transitions and hormone therapies. He's joined at least 15 other states with these laws. Look, you can't even get a tattoo until you're 18. I don't understand how anyone could make an actual intellectual argument that this is a bad thing, that, you know, before you have life-altering surgery, that you maybe in some world, way, shape, or form, you have to think about it. You can't join the military till you're 18. You can't get a tattoo till you're 18. You can't drink liquor till you're 21. You can't join. You can't even rent a car until you're 25. But they're letting a 14-year-old, get a double mastectomy. It's insanity. It's like it's only gaslighting with the whole, well, if they don't do it now, you're literally killing them. That's not how it works. It's been a while since we talked about the teachers in schools who feel like it's their position, their job to raise kids. Now, I don't think it would be fully authentic of me to say that there isn't some place for a teacher to, you know, to have a relationship with a student where, careful, where, you know, they can confide in them. The problem is, like, let's say they're, you know, something bad's happened at home or something, right? Or their uncle or their aunt or something, you know? The problem comes in when those teachers then circumvent the parents. The information should pass through directly to the parents, and the teacher shouldn't be offering any advice, information, or otherwise in place of the parents. The problem is, nowadays, it seems like more and more they are, whether it's having a closet for the students to change into, you know, the boys to change into girls' clothes if they want when they're at school to hide it from their parents. This is a thing that happened. Or a wide variety of other things where it seems like a large percentage of these teachers also happen to be LGBTQ. I kind of get where maybe they're coming from. I try to not like be totally black-pilled, right? I try to not like ascribe the worst possible motive to everything. It's all, when you cover the news like I do, it's like literally the only thing that can keep you sane. The problem is, the more of these that happen, the harder it is. But let's say in good faith, you're an LGBTQ teacher and you remember what it was like being in school, and you remember that your parents were very difficult on you, and you remember that this or that or da-da-da-da-da happened to you in 1990. Okay, now it's 2023 where these people of this variety are widely celebrated, and they want to help. Again, it's not their job. It's not their place. They are the student's teacher, not the parents, okay? At worst, if the parents aren't around, it's still not the teacher's job to get involved. Perhaps they need to call some sort of outside agency or something of that nature. So even with the best possible interpretation, you just don't do it. Now, two Colorado families are suing their children's school district over allegations that the teachers and administrators encouraged their daughters to join an LGBTQ club, as well as keep the act. And here's the thing, right? Let's say these kids, we'll find out in the article, perhaps, maybe these kids are already out or whatever, whatever. Encouraging them to join the club probably isn't the worst crime, but it's when you keep it from the parents. America First Policy Institute and Illumine Legal filed a lawsuit on Wednesday against the Padre School District on behalf of Jonathan and Aaron Lee and Nick and Leanna Yurick, whose sixth grade daughters, so how old are you in sixth grade? 12? Six is 12, seventh is 13, eighth is 14. Yeah, that's right. 10, 11, 12 years old. Way too young to be involved in this stuff. Whose sixth grade daughters attended the middle school, according to a copy of the lawsuit. The activities of the GSA, Gay Straight Alliance, were not known to the parents, and those who headed the club's meetings actively encouraged students to keep talks about polyamory, puberty blockers, transgenderism, gender identity, self-harm, hookups and things of that nature, name or pronoun changes, secret from their parents. This is, here's the thing, right? Like, I know many of my viewers think I'm too soft on this stuff. And as I get older and as I keep covering it, I'm starting to believe you. But you have a situation where I don't know how to ascribe any kind of positive spin to this. In zero scenarios should any school group be telling kids to keep it secret from their parents. Teachers also invited substitute teacher Kimberly Chambers, who is an executive director of the Supporting Pride Learning and Social Happenings, SPLASH, organization that seeks to educate school-aged children on topics above their pay grade and gender identity to talk at one of the GSA meetings, which Lee's sixth grade daughters attended. Daughter, sorry, according to the lawsuit. Chambers reportedly told the children that if they were not completely comfortable in their bodies, that must mean they're transgender. Good Lord. Yeah. Girls and boys going through puberty definitely don't have weird feelings, especially girls who have all sorts of body changes that are new to them. It's definitely that they're trans, not that they're going through puberty. Chambers, this is how you end up with these new studies where it's like 27% of high school kids identify as some LGBTQIA plus thing. It's because of weirdos, in my opinion, like this, who are coming in there and saying, oh yeah, you're definitely not going through an awkward time in your life. You're trans. And you should probably get on these puberty blockers. And you should probably maybe get a double mastectomy. I mean, that's insane. The teacher also had children discuss what gender they were attracted to and gave students with LGBTQ paraphernalia, such as toys, flags, and other swag, if they came out as transgender. What? You're literally incentivizing it. The teacher told students that there was a higher likelihood of self-deletion by trans youth, but the Lee family, so their daughter, did not even understand what that was at the time. Chambers also repeatedly told students that it might not be safe to tell their parents what happened at the GSA meeting or to talk about trans issues. Instead, suggested they speak with her or other teachers. She offered students her personal phone number and told them to connect with her on Discord. This is just a groomer, right? This is like you know, that bumper sticker or that saying that people say they don't replicate, they recruit, or they don't procreate, they recruit, or something like that. What is this? The Lees were excited that their shy daughter was asked to get involved in school activities because she had not had too many opportunities to make friends. But they were alarmed to find out upon returning home that from the meeting she told them she would be transitioning, despite never having any thought about transgenderism before the meeting. What? The daughter has since desisted her desire to transition, but endured a months-long emotional decline of gender confusion that required counseling, including self-harm thoughts, according to... This is exactly what people are talking about, right? The Jurich family, or Jurich, I don't know, is suing because their daughter was subjected to a lot of the same treatment as Lee's daughter, where students were told by the WMS art teacher and staff sponsor of the school-sponsored GSA club that if they did not like their bodies, that they were most likely not the gender that they were assigned at birth. Yeah, a lot of 12-year-old girls going through puberty, we all know how much they love their bodies, right? And then following the meeting, their daughters began to have their first self-deletion thoughts and started leaving notes for her parents about transgenderism and stated that she was aromantic in the fall of 2021 and started to question her gender identity. A 12-year-old. Now listen to this. After experience at the GSA club, her relations with her friends deteriorated. She was not comfortable with the idea of potentially taking classes with another teacher. Their daughter's well-being underwent significant decline to the point where she asked to be homeschooled. She eventually even attempted to take her own life by drinking bleach and has since verbalized that her disturbed emotional state began when she attended the GSA. I hope that the lawsuit goes exceedingly well. I hope that it is a monumental financial loss for this group, the school district, and anyone involved, because this is exactly what parents have been worried about, and it's playing out just as they say. Even though they call you phobic, you know, you can't, well, you're phobic, you shouldn't be saying, well, I mean, here's two literal examples. About 2 weeks ago, the world was essentially shocked when Tucker Carlson was fired unceremoniously from Fox News. Now, this was on the heels of a nearly $1 billion settlement that Fox had to give over some of the claims that they had made about voting machines and things of that nature. People thought it was that. Then people thought it was literally Rupert Murdoch, the owner of Fox, being basically a weenie and firing Tucker because his wife liked him so much or something of that nature. But I guess maybe we'll never really know. A lot of it probably was tied to the various text messages that came to light where he was roasting his boss and the other people at Fox News. But this report came out just the other day, or just earlier today. Tucker Carlson had at least one conversation with Elon Musk about working together, according to a new report from Axios. However, the former Fox News commentator and billionaire Twitter and Tesla CEO reportedly did not discuss the specifics of what such of an arrangement could look like. Well, let's talk about that. I think there are three viable options for Tucker Carlson in terms of continuing his content and where he's going to go. The first would be, and this is not in any order, would be to go out on his own like Bill O'Reilly did, where he has a website. People, you know, have that. Most people are going that way now. I mean, there's Timcast, there's the Daily Wire, there's even my site, The Publica. This is probably the long-term safest option to secure your funding. The second option would be to partner with an existing network. Now, I think there's only two reasonable options here. There's no other real TV network, I think, that would make sense or that could afford him, because he's still under contract till 2025 post-election, and it's $20 million a year. Now, we do know in terms of online platforms, this kind of money is very reasonable. Joe Rogan received at least that much, maybe more, from Spotify, and Rumble offered a $20 million a year contract to Joe Rogan if he were to come to Rumble. So the first option would be to go out and do his own thing. The second option would be to partner with somebody like Spotify or Rumble. Now, in my, you know, my selfish opinion, I want him to go to Rumble because he would be another boat that would raise the tides, or he would be another tide that raises all other boats. He had 3 million viewers on Fox News nightly, just over 3 million. But I think not only, whether it was Spotify or Rumble, not only would he have an even bigger audience, but oh, if he went to Rumble, all the other creators on that platform would be buoyed by that, and they would have their content seen by millions of more people. And, you know, there's only very few people that can really care. You know, there's only a few people in the world that can move the needle like that. Joe Rogan was one. Tucker Carlson is one. You know, and I, it's tough to say who else, you know, might actually have that kind of effect. However, on top of this, Tucker Carlson is now ready to torch Fox News. Now, if you're following this news, the contract dispute between Tucker Carlson and Fox News is very similar to the contract dispute of international newsreader Don Lemon and CNN. Both gentlemen want to go and start new careers. The ace in the hole, so to speak, that Fox has over Tucker Carlson is that they can keep him from competing directly against him for another two full years, allowing him to fade more into obscurity and to prevent people leaving Fox. For example, if he did what I don't think he would do, but if he did go to like Newsmax or something like that, that's a million plus 1.5 million people that are just going to go directly to a competitor from Fox. So Fox doesn't want that. I don't think it's as difficult. I don't think it's as bad for Fox News if Tucker starts his own thing. But if he goes to work with a rival network, I think that would be worse for Fox. You know, him going to Spotify, him going, those people are have already left. Those, you know, Tucker fans, they're already gone. This says Tucker Carlson is preparing to unleash allies to Fox News in an effort to bully network into letting him work for or start a right-wing rival, according to sources at Axios. Brian Friedman, the high-powered Hollywood lawyer Carlson retained for the contract dispute, told Axios, quote, "The idea that anyone is going to silence Tucker and prevent him from speaking to his audience is beyond preposterous. Why it matters is, of course, Tucker versus Fox could reshape the entire conservative news world. Fox, which has seen its ratings plunge in Carlson's slot since he was let go 13 days ago, wants to sideline him by paying him $20 million a year to not work." Well, I mean, certainly I think we'd all take that deal, but it's a little different with Tucker because he would be, pushed into obscurity. He needs to be out front. In particular, him missing the election would be very, very bad for him. It would be very bad in terms of getting his commentary out into the cultural zeitgeist, into, you know, people's YouTube channels, Twitter feeds, all this stuff. Now, as it stands now with this contract, I'm pretty sure he could continue to upload Twitter videos, continue to remind people, you know, that he's still around and that he has something important to say. The Twitter video he put out initially, about a 2-minute video, had something like nearly 25 million views, probably close to 40 million views across all networks that had, after it had been reposted on YouTube and Rumble and all these other places. Tucker is a huge draw. Do I think he would get 20 million views per episode on Spotify? No, of course not. But I think that he could actually increase his viewership to 5 to 7 million per episode. I mean, if you look at Crowder, for example, yes, I know. But as somebody who's standalone on Rumble right now, he's averaging 1.2 to 1.3 million views per episode. And I would say that Tucker Carlson is probably orders of magnitude more popular than Steven Crowder. Now, that said, Tucker Carlson's popularity is on TV and online. But, you know, will his 3 million nightly viewers on TV come over to Rumble or come over to these other places? Now, of course, here's what's going, you know, where we know is, you know, the ousted host knows that there are no, quote, "The ousted host knows where the bodies are buried and is ready to start drawing a map," said a Carlson source who wasn't authorized to speak publicly. "Carlson allies with big platforms and are prepared to attack Fox to try and keep him, if they try to keep him on the shelf. You know, bare knuckle brawlers from Trump world are standing by." You know, and they're coming to him, his allies, and saying, "Do you want me to go after Fox?" A close Carlson friend said, "He's been saying, no, I want to get this done quiet and clean," which I think is still best for both parties. Quote, "We're not going from peacetime to DEFCON 1, the friend added. "His team is preparing for war, but he wants his freedom." In a sign of what could be coming, Megyn Kelly went after her former employee for its post-Carlson ratings, tweeting a reference to the conservative boycott of Bud Light. "My audience is calling them Foxweiser." Fox News directed Axios to the original network's statement. Now, Fox has, for its part, released several behind-the-scenes videos of Tucker Carlson, and in an attempt, in my opinion, in an attempt to smear him, in an attempt to make him look bad, but it just made him look totally relatable and funny. I mean, I guess calling his fans postmenopausal, that's probably true. I mean, at least on Fox News. Tucker has a much wider audience online than he ever had on Fox News, so I think he could absolutely be even bigger with a dedication to online. Can you imagine him streaming on Twitch? I mean, that would be hilarious. Like, this is one of the things where, like, you know, Trump's social media, when he got banned off Twitter, whoever told him not to go join Parler and Rumble and all these others is an idiot. Imagine if Tucker just said, "I'm not going to have any home. I'm going to have a sub button on Twitch. I'm going to have a members button on YouTube. And I'm going to have, I mean, like, I mean, he could be absolutely massive. He doesn't even, from what I can tell, even have his own YouTube channel, which if he started would probably have 2 million subs overnight. You know, 2-3 million subs on YouTube is probably, for him, between clips and his show, probably 3 to 5 million a year in ad revenue minimum, plus ad reads, so you could double that, plus his sub money, plus his membership money, plus Rumble, Locals. Like, he actually doesn't even need to go to Spotify or something like that. He could just, you know, freeball it and go out on his own. You know, and this unaired footage that they put out to try and stir up controversy. You see, you know, Fox News is teaming up with Media Matters to smear Tucker Carlson. It is one of the slimiest betrayals I've ever seen. Matt Walsh, a podcaster for the conservative Daily Wire, wrote this week. Well, Matt also doesn't ride like riding bicycles. Others found the accusations a bit of a stretch. The idea that Fox is somehow colluding with its mortal enemy, Mike Davis, a conservative legal strategist, said to trash Tucker is a truly tinfoil hat, utterly stupid conspiracy theory. I don't think it is. I think that it's entirely possible. Because they need to poison the well a little bit so people don't want him. But those clips were totally benign. They did nothing for me to lose any kind of respect for the guy. So it's going to be interesting to see if and when Tucker does want to, quote unquote, go to war with Fox. And if he does, what that outcome really is. I sincerely hope that he goes to Rumble and creates his content, becomes a content creator like us, because that helps everybody. Going to Spotify doesn't really help anybody, because I'm not going to pay for Spotify to listen to Tucker. I know some people will, but him going to Spotify really isn't lifting up all boats. Him going to Rumble, that would. I hope you enjoyed this video. If you did, please make sure you leave a like on it. And if possible, I hope I've earned your subscription today. Please subscribe down below, and we'll talk to you again real soon.